Welcome to a new episode of the For Your Soul podcast. And today we are going to be talking about prophecies of the year and three problems that I have with that. So as we begin a new year, we are just about to complete the first month of 2023, now going into February. And by this time, I'm sure you have heard, or maybe you haven't heard, but at this point, there has been several prophecies of the year that several churches tend to hand out, usually at the end of the previous year or the beginning of the new year. And this is typically the time where the minister tells the congregation what is expected to come within the new year based on what revelation God has given to him. Now, typically you would hear this in charismatic Pentecostal churches. And if you've grown up in these types of churches, you would think that that would be the norm for Christianity. Believe me, I know, I've been there. However, as you grow in the Word, as part of your overall walk with God, I believe that you'll start to see red flags in which you realize they aren't necessary at all. If anything, you'll listen to these prophecies and you'll think, wait a minute, that's not biblical. That doesn't align. You know, and even worse, when you don't see such prophecies come to pass. And we're going to highlight some of that today in this episode. So that being said, I want to provide three problems I have, prophecies of the year, followed by an encouragement to be in the Word of God over those prophecies. Let's begin. So the three problems, number one, I find them to be inconsistent. Number two, I find them to be unbiblical. And number three, I find them to be unrealistic. Okay? So keep those points in mind. Inconsistent, unbiblical, and unrealistic. Number one, inconsistent. So the first problem I have with prophecy of the year is that they're usually inconsistent because they differ or even contradict one another. Even just doing research online on YouTube, prophecies of the year, whether you're talking about 2023 or anything in the previous years, they're usually contradictory to each other. There are some who say that this year is going to be a great year. It's going to be an amazing year, right? And then other ministers will say, oh, this is going to be a tough year. It'll be a year of tribulation, a year of trials. And not just simply for the church, but also in the state of the world too, because sometimes they include that as well. So just based on that alone, you see like that they're inconsistent. They're not even remotely the same. And typical examples of prophecies of the year that you may have heard would include year of breakthrough, acceleration, double portions, and year of trials and tribulations. And for example, year of breakthrough, I've heard that prophesied so many times. And I even actually heard that prophesied for this year. And I'm like, wait, why are we getting recycled prophecies for some reason? Or even double portions, you know, which is another thing that a lot of these churches like to teach. And of course, we know that if you look up double portion, it's talking about the story of Elijah and the double portion, even though that text is descriptive and not prescriptive, meaning that it doesn't apply to us in that regard. We hear all these prophecies applied every year, and typically they are positive. So typically these are messages that people are well-received, messages that people, meaning the church, right, that they can take forward and say, wow, this year is going to be a great year. Now, regarding examples of 2023 prophecies, I looked these up on YouTube. You can look them up on your own time. These are the different names that come here. I have one titled The Year of Esther, another one titled The Year of Pressing Forward, then The Year of Breakthrough, The Year of Maximum, and The Year of Money. Yes, you heard me correct. The year of money. Now, if these types of messages are delivered to the church, shouldn't it apply to all believers? Shouldn't everyone have a great year? Shouldn't they all be blessed? But yet, that's apparently the norm when it comes to these types of prophecies of the years, because they are literally a feel-good message. But may I ask, like, is this something that God does every year? What if he chooses not to give a prophecy of the year? Because apparently every year he seems to hand them out, right? Right when December 31st comes around, boom, here's the prophecy of the following year. And it's like, but God is sovereign. I mean, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God hands out prophecies of the year. Like, what if he doesn't give a prophecy? You know, I wonder how awkward that would be in churches that stress that. You know, remember, God is sovereign, all right? That's what I'm trying to say. He does whatever he wants, meaning that he could refrain from doing so. But apparently, he seems to have one every year. And another problem with the prophecies, well, this is in addition to the inconsistency. They're pretty vague, too. Like, they'll just say, oh, good things is going to happen. It's going to be a great year. There's no specification, you know, and they're like fortune cookies. You could almost think of them as almost like horoscopes and stuff like that. It's just positive message that's meant to simply make the congregation feel good. Now, again, there are message prophecies that do stress trials and tribulation, but for the most part, they are positive. Okay. Now, the second part is that they are unbiblical. Think about it. Where in the Bible does it talk about prophecies of the year? Show me. What book, chapter, and verse says this? What character in both the Old and New Testament says this? And looking at the story of Jesus, did we ever see him share with his disciples, hey, this is the prophecy of the year. Gather around. No. We don't see that applied to church history either. So when it comes down to it, this is something that has been more current than historical. And again, that's also inconsistent, because if this was the norm for Christianity, shouldn't we have prophecies of the year every single year, even dating back to biblical times? But no, we only see it now. Right? As soon as the year comes to an end, gotta put out a prophecy. So it's more of a trend, if anything. And now here, and I hear some pastors, they'll say they'll wait till the very last moment till God tells them what the prophecy of the year is. But if, like I asked before, like, what if they don't have one? What if God decides not to give one? Will the congregation be disappointed? Will members be like, okay, I'm just going to go to another church and hear one? I don't know. But they're just, again, they are not in the Bible. Therefore, like, why are we embracing something that's not biblical, something that can ultimately be unreliable, as I will highlight in my next point, which is number three, unrealistic. Problem, this is probably the big problem here when it comes to these prophecies of the year, that it sets a false expectation of how the year will turn out, because we don't know what tomorrow brings or how we will be affected by it. We know that God is in control of our tomorrows and our future and every year. But that doesn't mean that it's always going to be positive, guys. Think about this. In the year 2020, there was a whole bunch of prophecies that said that 2020 was the year of 2020 vision, right? It's supposed to be power for you, a great year, extraordinary year. A year in which we would see global pandemic. We would see riots on the streets of America. And we will see also an election that ended in big, tremendous controversy. None of these prophets saw this coming. No one said at the beginning of the year that these things were going to happen. But apparently that's what God told them. And there were some who even repented and said sorry for the prophecies that they had given. And it's just unrealistic. If God spoke, then his word will come to pass. As the word says, he sends his word and does not return void. In Isaiah 55. He sends out his word and it does not return void. Think about that. Because one of the things with prophets today, they'll say, well, if it's wrong, well, it's because of man. Man is fallible. And yes, we know man is fallible. It's not the problem. We know that when God speaks, if he's given his word, it's clear as day to these prophets, then regardless of their fallibility, that word will come to pass because it is the word that God has given. It is the prophecy that God has given. So don't blame it on, well, actually, you should blame it on the person, because ultimately it's just not true. Prophecy is not true. All right? And to be realistic, guys, it is worth noting that no year is perfect. Every year has its ups and downs. Yes, there will be the years where you will have a great year. And praise God for that. There will also be years where it will be tough. It will be difficult, scourging, overwhelming. And especially as a Christian, just nonstop trials, left and right, up and down. Times where you'll feel discouraged. Times where you say, God, why me? Why am I going through this? Where things will make zero sense whatsoever. And guess what? It happens to all of us, right? Even with prophecies of the year, the positive ones, they'll say, oh, it's going to be an amazing year, but you probably have the most difficult year of your life. And again, tomorrow's not promised. Who's to say that this will be the year that you will breathe your last breath, right? Our expiration date is unknown. Only God knows how long we live. So again, when it comes to these prophecies, I encourage you to have a realistic expectation that tomorrow's not promised. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but ultimately it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. If anything, that's the comfort that we can have in every year that comes by. Whether the year is great or terrible, God is in control. He reigns. He's sovereign. For the Christian, our lives are in his hands. That is the greatest comfort that we could ever have. No matter what happens each year, our lives are in God's hands. And we can learn to be content in that. Now, in coming to a close, I want to encourage you guys to look to a better alternative to prophecies of the year, and that is scriptures. You want prophecy? You want promise? You want encouragement? Go to the Word of God. It is sufficient. It is authoritative. It is eternal. It is unfailing. And guess what? You can always rely on His Word, because God's Word never changes, just as God never changes. The Word of God is far more reliable than any so-called prophecy of the year. Far too many times, Christians tend to seek the next big prophecy instead of grounding themselves further in scriptures. It is so crucial that we plant ourselves firmly in God's Word so that we would be content in everything He has said, because His Word speaks to us today. It is relevant. It is timely. And that we can always find hope and renew our strength in His Word, because that is how we grow in God. It comes through His Word, seeking His face, praying, fasting, fellowshipping with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that we serve a great God, knowing that all the times and seasons are in His hands, knowing that He gives us peace that surpasses human understanding. And friends, that is more reliable than any prophecy, because the problem is that people become over-reliant on those prophecies. And I've seen it, right? And I used to think that way too. It's like, if I don't hear a prophecy anytime soon, then man, then God's not moving in my life. No, God is always moving in my life. God is moving in your life, believer, brother, sister. God is moving in your life regardless of what prophecies are being thrown around nowadays, because His Word says so. He loves us. Remember, He sent His Son to die for us, and He reigns. And Christ is coming back. And that's definitely a prophecy. I don't know if it's a prophecy for this year, but it's definitely a prophecy to come, and it will happen, because it's said, it is written in His Word. I don't need someone to tell me that. It's written in His Word. And my friends, I encourage you to get back to the Word of God, because it is our true reliable source. It is the source that God has given us. Therefore, we must not overlook it, but embrace it all the more each year. To the glory of God. Amen.